We can't give in to our physical desires and expect to be healthy men. Every athlete must develop and exercise self-control. I'm Brian Patrick. As we continue our series on spiritual warfare, discipline your body is our topic, this time on Crossing the Goal. It's the kickoff for Discipline Your Body, our next segment in our series on spiritual warfare. Our Crossing the Goal team in place and ready to serve you. From Renewal Ministries, Vice President Peter Herbeck. From Focus, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, the president and founder, Curtis Martin. And I don't think he's president of much of anything, but he's a former NFL All-Pro wide receiver and NFL coach, our coach, Danny Abramowitz. In fact, you are president of Crossing the Goal.
Absolutely.
Yeah, these guys voted me in. Something up.
Crossing the Goal Ministries. That's right. Well, as we kick off our program, Danny, let's talk about how sometimes we get a kind of an inappropriate commitment to certain types of fitness.
Yes. Well, we have the physical part of us and the spiritual part of you. Think about it. It's important, and you compare the two. One, and so the physical part, you want to bulk yourself up. We work out and stuff like that. Plus, we watch what we eat. Some of us don't.
Whoa!
And then we groom ourselves. You know, we worry about our grooming. But what happens to the physical part? It ends upon death. And then we have the spiritual that lasts forever. How much time do we spend on the Pope? I bet it's the physical is more, it's disproportionate. Yeah. We do way more physical than the spiritual.
Well, you look like you're ready for the physical part. You got your workout stuff on today.
I
got
to get ready
for
you guys.
I thought those were his pajamas.
Yeah. I'm ready, man.
Tough crowd.
You model this really well because you're in very good shape. You work out quite a bit, and yet you're a man of God. That anybody who knows you knows that's a dedication. I think that's the point we want to try to get across. Yes. Is there's these two errors. We want to, don't be lazy. We have to take care of ourselves and our bodies. We have to train it. And at the same time, no matter how well you care for your body, in 100 years, it's going to be worm food. And so we have to recognize there's only one way to avoid that, and that is to take care of your soul. And then at the resurrection, your soul will draw your body up by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we want to recognize getting this in balance.
And the theme of our series here is spiritual combat. And the body is a field of battle.
Yes.
It really is. And we want to bring the body, like every other part of our life, under the lordship of Jesus Christ. We want to live in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God, have our body do what we want to do to honor the Lord.
Yeah, body or soul, fitness requires discipline. Yes. So we need a game plan to discipline your body. We have it next here on Crossing the Goal with Peter and Curtis.
One thing that you strive for as a member of a National Football League team, as a group as a whole, is consistency. Because there's nothing that will wear a team out quicker than being on a roller coaster, going up and down, and not knowing what to expect week after week. If you can get on a consistent, a constant course, that is when the good teams are developed. And I think it's the same thing, with our Catholic life. Be consistent. Be consistent. Sometimes, it may get mundane, and sometimes it may get boring, but it is consistent. And consistency is something that is very, very important in everything that we do.
We're back. Our theme is spiritual warfare. Our topic is disciplining the body. I'm Curtis Martin with Focus, and this is Peter Herbeck with Renewal Ministries. And Peter, we're trying to walk through exactly what it means to nail this, because it seems like our culture's got it off on both sides. We either have people who are not doing anything with their body and are kind of just enjoying comfort, and others who are making a god of their body. And I think the church really, again, as is frequently the case, always the case, we're drawn to be able to find virtue in the middle. This is what the church says about discipline and the care of our body. The way of perfection passes by way of the cross. There is no holiness without renunciation and spiritual battle. There's no holiness without renunciation and spiritual battle. I mean, I actually don't like that. I mean, that's got to be tough because, you and I, it's all, obviously we work out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we bring that up.
I mean, let's just be straight about it. We don't want to discourage guys. I mean, there's hope for everybody. I mean, look at Curtis. Look at me. I mean, pretty obvious.
Yeah, exactly. So we don't know. It's okay. You can start wherever you want. But no, seriously, we want to get past that, and we want to recognize that there is a serious call here for us to recognize the role of our body in working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And that it's a great tool, but a terrible master. Yeah. And so we look, and we can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. St. Paul says this, and it sets the tone. In verse 23, he says, I do all things for the sake of the gospel. And then he goes on in verse 24, says, I run in such a way that I might win. And then he continues in verse 27, but I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Those are pretty heavy words.
They are. You know, Paul's got one goal in mind. He wants to fulfill the mission that the Lord's given to him. Another place he says, I make it my aim now to please the Lord. So he says, my whole enterprise, everything that I am, my mind, my emotions, my body, everything is moving toward that goal. And I need to bring, there's something in me that resists wanting to fulfill that goal. I'm divided inside. So I know I have to bring not only my mind and my emotions and my passions under the Lordship of Jesus, I have to bring my body there as well. Because our body sometimes dominate us, their cravings. We pamper our bodies, and our bodies want more. We want more sleep, we want more food than we need, we want more comfort than we need, and sometimes that gets in the way of fulfilling the will of God.
You know, in our last session, we talked about the call in Romans chapter 12 to make ourselves a living and holy sacrifice, and it's been said the problem with a living sacrifice is it keeps crawling back off the altar.
That's right.
And I, you know, we're talking essentially about the virtue of temperance, to have self-control, and I got to admit, there's a struggle here. I very much have a flesh that would like to run off and do things that aren't going to be at all helpful, and to try to continue to master that. I mean, what are some of the ways that we can grow in this?
Well, there's ascetical practices. I was just thinking of Cardinal Newman. Got some great quotes here from him that's helpful, and he says, nothing is so likely to corrupt our hearts and to seduce us from God as to surround ourselves with comforts, to have things our own way. Now, we live in a culture that is focused on making you and I as comfortable as we possibly can be. I mean, that's what the whole culture is focused on, the whole economy is focused on in some way.
I mean, you think about it, there are people living in the first world in poverty who live better than kings and queens of 500 years ago.
Yeah.
Hot and cold running water, and so just to be able to have a roof over their head consistently, just to be able to sit back and say the comfort levels that we have, and many, many of us are living much higher than that.
And it's worth stopping and just taking stock for a minute. I'm just thinking of some of the entertainment centers and homes I've been in. You know, we sit, our chairs just keep getting bigger, our screens keep getting bigger and bigger, our chairs keep getting bigger and bigger.
They vibrate.
Yeah, everything, you know, and our pop holders or our beer holders get bigger and bigger all the time. You know, and it's great. We're not trying to be, you know, fuddy-duddies, but you know what? We have to see everything that we do in light of the ultimate goal of our lives. Is what I have, what I possess, what I set up for myself, is it really helping me get to my ultimate goal? In this area of the physical battle, of subduing our bodies, making our bodies serve our ultimate goals, making our bodies serve love, and not be constantly, you know, wanting and craving this and that, subduing it so that we're peaceful and capable of staying focused, that's not such an easy thing to do.
No, just to have that sense. I mean, I know for me to be able to sit back and say, we've been called to be a warrior. That's the whole topic of this whole series. Yeah. And when you get up and look in the mirror, do you feel like a warrior? And I got to tell you that, you know, 6 months ago, I'm sitting back going, not so much. And I'm not where I want to be right now in all seriousness, but we are. My wife and I are now working out more regularly and dropping some weight and trying to build some strength. But I also want to hold that into balance and sit back and say, but my real question is, am I getting up also to sharpen my soul? Yeah. In my spiritual life, am I getting up to pray in the morning? Those two things have to go hand in hand, and the prayer part needs to lead. Yeah.
Here's another tip from Cardinal Newman. He said, the Christian denies himself in things lawful because he's aware of his own weakness and liability to sin. He dares not walk on the edge of the precipice. Instead of going to the extreme of what is allowable, he keeps at a distance from evil, that he may be safe. He abstains lest he should not be temperate. He fasts lest he should eat and drink with the drunken. Now, fasting is an important discipline. The whole ascetic tradition of Christianity and the Catholic Church in particular that the saints lived, it's not very popular today. The idea that I'm going to fast or I'm going to give something up in order to subdue my body, to make it do what I want it to do. I remember when I was living with a group of guys just after I graduated from college, and we were going to be serious about following the Lord, and it was during Lent. they said, we're going to do some fasting during Lent. And I had never really fasted much in my life up to that point. So I'm on day one of the fast, and I'm like, oh, my body's craving food, and this is so hard, and I got a headache, and all this whining. Into day two, one of my friends from the house comes up to me, an older guy, and he says to me, how's it going? I said, oh, this fasting is hard. I was on day two. He was on day 22. Yeah. He literally was fasting for 22 days, and he was at peace, and I mean, he was drinking fluids, he understood what he was doing, he had the right kind of spiritual direction, but I thought, man, I am such a wimp. I was whining the whole time.
No, we want to get into that when we get into the red zone, talk about what it means to really get serious about this and pursuing Christ and making our bodies an instrument in our salvation. Yeah. Brian?
All right, thanks for the game plan, Curtis and Peter. Coach, first they make fun of your warm-up outfit, then they go over there and talk about, it's obvious we work out. I bet you can't wait to get down to the red zone with these guys.
Yeah, because we're going to have to carry them again.
You know it. We are in the red zone next here on Crossing the Goal. Stay with us. Discipline Your Body is our topic as we continue in our series on spiritual warfare here on Crossing the Goal, and we are in the red zone. Coach, we're all concerned, well, most of us anyway, about our physical appearance, and we really have to find some balance there between our bodies, our spirits, fitness, the way around.
Well, Brian, I think that it's a shame, but many people out here look at the outward appearance of a person. They're good looking, or they're a hulk, or whatever it is. I mean, that's important. You want to look good. We're not saying that. You know, you should look, work out, you should do all these things. You should look handsome, you should do all these things. But I think it's more important, what's inside the person?
Sure.
What makes up a person? And I started reflecting a little bit. Two people came to mind right off the bat. Physically, not the most attractive in the world, Mother Teresa. But inwardly, what was she made of? Just tremendous, the love that she had,
rock.
And had the effect on the world.
Mm. Yeah, well, I guarantee you, Danny, prayed a lot, fasted a lot. You know, she did a lot to subdue her body and keep her focused on the spirit.
Then John Paul II is the other one. You know, remember how strong and muscular and good looking and all that kind of stuff. And then
he got very feeble.
But I think he was more powerful in that state, because people really saw the interior of that man, the spiritual, the love he had for the Lord, and all people. He went all places, to all religions, and you could tell that he was genuine, that he cared, and that's why so many people showed up at his funeral.
But in the context of the spiritual combat that we're talking about, we can't get to where they were without having some part of our spiritual journey being subduing our bodies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the discipline of the body. I remember reading about Pope Paul VI used to wear like a hair shirt underneath, you know, because they you know, remember St. Francis, brother ass, he was always trying to discipline his body. And I think part of the reason we've chosen this subject is because we don't think about it very much in our culture, because our culture is so geared toward personal comfort. We think that's just okay. Well, actually, one of the things that's slowing us down spiritually is our over-concern for the comforts of our body. I mean, that's what,
St. Paul makes the point. He says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? And I think that's a great word picture, because what we have to recognize about the temple is that means it's noble. Temples are noble.
Yeah.
But we don't worship temples. We worship in temples. And so our body should be noble. It should be well taken care of to do what we can. But we should recognize that that serves a higher purpose of worship. And I think that, to me, helps hold things in balance. And just to say a word to, you know, brothers who are out there who are struggling in the physical side. You know, a lot of us are overweight or out of shape, or we suffered some injuries or whatever. Just to be able to make incremental progress in the right direction. And that's going to mean something different for each guy. But we're not trying to set a bar that's so high that it discourages people. We're here as a ministry of encouragement.
Let me just give a little testimony here about myself, making it practical. You know, I worked out six times a week. And all of a sudden, one day, I worked out, and I didn't feel good, and one thing turned into another, and I ended up having a heart attack. Now, here I was, all that working out. My physical body was failing. But guess what? I was not afraid. You know why? because I was also spiritually in shape. I knew I was in trouble. I knew that my body was in trouble, even though they said, well, we got it under control. They didn't have it under control. I know that. But I leaned back, I remember, on the table and said, Lord, if it be your will, I'm ready. And the reason I wasn't fearful is because, you know, I'd worked out in the spiritual part of it with prayer and all the things we talked about. So, yeah.
And it takes a great deal of discipline on both sides to do what you're doing. And that word discipline kind of gets a bad rap. I mean, the whole idea of discipline. Sure. But unless I learn that, my life's going to be a mess. I mean, something as simple as saying no to the chocolate eclair in the morning will help me to say no to a sexual temptation. If I give in every time to the chocolate eclair, when I'm faced with something more serious, I'm much more likely to give in too.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think fasting once or twice a week on bread and water, if you could. You know, you have to know what your body can handle. But the spiritual journey, you just have to have certain ascetical disciplines as part of your life in order to make yourself, put yourself in a position to receive what God wants to give you, to grow in the Lord, you know?
No, and Jesus tells us, and the church reads us these passages every Ash Wednesday to be able to sit back and say the three spiritual practices of asceticism, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, we don't like to do any of these.
Yeah.
And yet Jesus makes it very clear that these are powerful tools that when we live prayer, fasting, and almsgiving quietly, humbly, secretly almost, we're not doing it for show, God not only hears us, but then Jesus says something that's absolutely extraordinary. And then God will reward you. God doesn't owe us anything, and yet he says he will reward you if you pray, fast, and give alms secretly so that no one else knows. He'll reward you because he knows.
You know, and fasting doesn't always pertain to food and other items. It's also, you know, we've been talking about it a lot, about simplifying your life, getting away from a lot of things, things we used to, you know, cut back on TV.
Yeah.
Cut back on the internet.
Blackberry.
Cut back on salt.
Salt.
What I'm saying is to simplify our life, the we have to have the biggest thing, the biggest car, the new this, the whatever. We have to pummel our body.
Yeah.
And no, we're not going to do it. We don't need that. Yeah. We really don't. Do we want it? Yeah, we want it.
Right.
But that's not important. What do we need?
Yeah.
And we'll find
out. Or even
out.
Sitting there having some beers with guys, and you just start feeling, well, you know what? I'm at the point, if I have another big glass of beer, then I'm starting to get over the edge. I'm going to get a little bit of a buzz or something like that and say, well, what I really need to do, why? Because I keep, like Paul says, I keep the goal in mind. Why am I here? I'm here to live for the kingdom. I'm here to follow the Lord, to please the Lord. My body's a temple of the Spirit, so I'm going to stop at this point. My body might want to say, oh gosh, one more wouldn't hurt, or a couple more wouldn't hurt, and say, no, I'm going to do it. I have to take control. I'm not going to let my body push me over the edge.
And that's the testing point. So can we talk about that for a second? What can we do at that moment, whether it's a beer or you want to have a cigarette or whatever, there's whatever the bad habit or the habit that's holding you back from the next level, when you reach that and you're inclined to say, yeah, it's okay, how do we stop? Because that's, I think, the challenge.
Yeah. Well, there's two to that question. There's two parts. One is when it's happening immediately, you go to the Lord and say, Lord, take this away from me, this challenge. I don't want this. I don't want to do it. But like in when my drinking, I had to replace that with something. Yeah. I know the chocolate eclair in the morning or the coffee in the morning with the cigarette. You have to change the course of action. You have to change and get away from. Don't put yourself in undue temptation. Get away from it in some kind of change your pattern. That's why exercise is so important. Go exercise. Mm-hmm. Change your pattern of life so you don't get trapped in those kind of things.
Well, you've got to talk about fasting. For me, the beauty of a fast is that whenever I want something to eat, I pray instead.
Yes.
That's why I fast.
It's part of it. Yeah. To be able to say, I want to long for you the way I long for
exactly.
a burger, you know, or whatever it is.
Yeah. I mean, part of that, what fasting does too, is it helps quiet us down to be able to listen. When you first start fasting, it's hard.
It's real hard.
Once you start doing it as a habit, it actually becomes a lot, like anything else, it becomes easier. You know, and it disposes us more to hearing the Lord, listening to the Lord, receiving from Him.
You won't be so quiet right away, though.
Yeah,
when you first start, the body's screaming, "Oh, feed me!" You know, I can skip breakfast almost any day without a problem, except the day I'm fasting. Then I'm like, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. I'm dying.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know what it is.
With your prayer
game.
Thing, these two guys need to say litanies.
Well, we'll let them get back at you because they'll get the last word along with you, Danny, as we end up. In the end zone next, we'll also check our Crossing the Goal email bag. Stay with us for more of Crossing the Goal. are in the end zone now on Crossing the Goal. Before we get the last word on Discipline Your Body, we have an email that kind of goes along with the theme that we've been discussing today. It's from Dwayne in Virginia, who says, first of all, he watched our show on purity. He says, I've been struggling with impurity for most of my life. It was nice to hear the understanding of the battle from you guys. Impurity is a battle for all of us, but it is a battle that can be won.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it a lot on the program because it is, like you say, every man's battle. It's a challenge. Our culture is just bombarding us or bombarding our senses, and there's a lot there. It's a big fight. But one of the problems I hear too often is guys feel discouraged, like they can't change. And look, Christianity means change. Jesus, listen to Paul from Titus. He says, right, he goes, at one time he says, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray. We were slaves to our passions and pleasures. That's St. Paul saying that. He was one time was a slave to his passions and the pleasures that were driving him, but he said, not no more. He gradually was moved from point A to point B by the grace of the Holy Spirit, by the Christian life, by living with others, and there really is power to change.
No, and I think it's actually going to be the witness of men who have labored with many, many failures, yeah, stumbling along the way to then, through the grace of Christ, to experience victory and purity through that process, which may take months, may take years may take decades.
A lifetime.
But then, when you actually have experienced some freedom in this area, what an ability you'll have to speak to those in the rest of the culture, because this is the challenge, as you said, not only every man's, but it's the number one impediment that that keeps men from engaging the spiritual life. They feel completely unworthy because of these areas. Yes, we sin in all kinds of other areas also, but in this particular area, we feel like we're immediately disqualified from the spiritual life. Once somebody has walked through that, I have. I mean, I was many, many mistakes in my life and experienced tremendous transformation in my life in this area, to be able to now work with other young men and encourage them and watch God change lives. This is awesome.
Yeah. Well, Wayne, join in. All of us have been involved with that.
Next.
Not the only one. You know, a guy told me something funny one time. I laughed, but then I got to think about it. He says, we're either in a temptation, about to go out of one, or about to go into one. I mean, it never stops.
Recovering from
the battle's going to happen until we're 6 feet under, right?
Exactly.
Until we die. There's going to be a battle right up until the end.
What you have to do is, you know it's coming.
Yeah.
When it comes, you have to get rid of it immediately. We keep saying this. You have to turn to prayer or Jesus or whatever it is.
Get up and run. Get away.
Like impure thoughts. I get it at the worst times, at Adoration Chapel, saying a rosary, whatever. I go, Mary, please take this away. And it works. Now, the devil does all, we'll leave Danny alone now. He's got Mary. He'll wait for a few minutes, back again.
Right? He'll circle back.
Or he might wait a while. He's going to be back.
Yeah.
And it all ties in with our theme for this show, Discipline Your Body. So, Peter, why don't you start with the last word on that?
I just want to leave one challenge, you know, that fasting, we've been talking about it, it really is part of a basic Christian discipline. I encourage you to think about, pray about, talk to a spiritual director, talk to your pastor about beginning, if you're not fasting, begin to fast once a week, maybe from a meal, maybe do a one-day bread and water fast, and watch what the Lord does in your life as you bring your physical body to subdue it to the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
You know, and just to pile on that for a second, the church, sometimes people after Vatican II thought that the Friday fast went out. The formality, the specifics have been left to our decision, but Friday is still a day of penance. And that's, if you're going to fast one day a week, that'd be a great day to do that. I would want to encourage you that whatever it is, the opportunity is for you to be a man of action. Men, we were made to act. That's what makes us men. And so to be able to respond to these challenges and allow God's grace to take form in your life through taking an action, whatever action wants to be, whether it's fasting or whatever, but act. Choose to live differently.
Well, I got an action plan for you, men. It's called the 30-30 plan. This week, what I want you to do is 30 minutes of exercise and 30 minutes of prayer a day.
And maybe you want to wear a beautiful workout suit like Danny's wearing.
Hey, when are we going to get one of those?
You can find that and Danny's book, Spiritual Workout of a Former Saint, as well as a number of great resources, including our Crossing the Goal playbooks on our website at crossingthegoal.com. You can also leave an email for us, and maybe we'll even get it on the air. Well, this show is all about crossing the goal, victory. So next time, victory belongs to the Lord. For Peter Herbeck, Curtis Martin, and Coach Danny Abramowitz, I'm Brian Patrick. We'll see you next time here on Crossing the Goal.